I am very happy to open the afternoon session. If I may, as moderator in chief, I would simply like to say that we were very pleased with the quality of this morning's session. And we can talk about it this afternoon, but I think the themes about the openness of the system, the genuine needs from the National Cancer Institute, and I'm speaking particularly to our Polish colleagues here, you know, when people who have an aggressive research agenda, an organization that is carrying out cutting-edge research that has $4 billion, you know, even at the current exchange rates, $1 billion is still a significant amount of money. An organization that has an active program of creating companies to exploit new technologies, these are good partners. And if you want to know whether or not we think bilateral cooperation is a good way to go forward, you'll notice that the title of the conference is U.S.-Polish Cooperation on Science, Technology, and Innovation. I'd also like to thank, again, our colleague, my partner in organizing this event, for being able to take the moderating role for this next panel, and let me turn to Mark with my thanks.
Thank you very much, Chuck. I'll be acting as a replacement for our dear guest that is, I guess, somewhere in a traffic jam. So to adhere to the schedule, let me introduce to you our next honorable speaker, Madame Minister Maria Orłowska. By the way, my apologies for for the incorrect name in the program. Please correct this. Just a few words on top of being a really wonderful leader of Polish science these days. Madame Minister is also a really world-class expert on ICT, but today she will be more into her ministerial role. Madame Minister, please take the floor.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. First of all, our dear organizers, Dr. Wessner, President Kleiberg, and long list of names which we've heard this morning, I would like to really express the sincere thanks for organizing that very important meeting. The meeting which has got such a variety of topics, but it is focused. If you really think about it, it has a great potential to draw conclusions which may take us quite far. So one more time, thank you very much, and we really look forward for developing our relationship with US partners, and I hope that the brief presentation which I will have just now will also put a light on development of Polish higher education system and reforms which we are going through in our country. First of all, to talk about reform, I think it will be quite useful to say a few words about the background. 20 years of transformation, after transformation, and I'm very proud and have great honor to work in the 14th government of Poland. So if you really make very simple calculation, you come to conclusion that none of them have been longer than around 12 to 11 months, with exception to one which served the full term and done incredible contribution to this segment of development of community which I am representing today. So the current government is 2 years in the office, and all signs on sky and ground tells us that there is a good chance we'll have another 2 years in power. So why I'm talking about it? Because that is additional responsibility. We have no excuse anymore. We have to take hard things properly, point them down, and do whatever we can to change the system which we are trying to manage. So first of all, I would like to say that we are having a great commitment. The government is totally committed for development of intellectual capital in the country, for development of human capital, for definitely transformation of science into innovation. I know that sounds like a very familiar term. Wherever we go, to whatever country we go, everyone tells that this is the main issue. Historically, we are very strong in the fundamental science. We are absolutely brilliant in mathematics, physics, chemistry. But if I refer to one of our exciting sessions this morning, especially that incredibly powerful integration and interoperation between scientists, which Dr. Berker presented, there is no more room for development of individual science domains without linkage to their neighbors and actually putting the new problems in front of us, and all should contribute. We all know that, but it is very difficult to achieve. And it's not only difficult to achieve in the country of incredible tradition in incredible. What I mean by that? One of the oldest universities in Europe are located in Poland. 1383 or 6, depending which historical record we look, is Jagiellonian University. But when you look on American side, on historical development, and we look that around 18, I may be wrong on a few years, 38, maybe 50, the first Harvard president decides that we need to do interdisciplinary work, is such observation which strikes me all the time. We are very, very traditional, and we should, I'm talking about Poland now, we should maintain the tradition. Our strength is in tradition, but there is nothing for free. And exactly that links to the way how we used to do science have to be slightly changed, and that is sometimes regarded as a painful process. Doesn't have to be painful, and we hope that the reform which we are introducing will make the pain tolerable, and actually we remove the pain and we get support of the academic community. And this is why I'm very excited, because we actually have done a long consultation process, and I may say that fact that main legal acts went through the government already last year, and some of them are already in the process of legislation path, are well advanced and supported by the community. This is the best sign that we may succeed, and I hope we will, and I'm absolutely confident the community will support us. So with that short briefing, I would like to turn now to the very boring part of the presentation. Well, boring, by contrast to this fascinating research developments, I would like to say a few words about the change which we introduced, but please accept my explanation that I will mix higher education with the science, because there is no way to separate the both, and this is why slightly the topic of the presentation from now on may differ from the title which you see in the program. Right. So, the first of all, we have targets. We have a great vision. We want to change the way how we are doing things. Our targets, translated to some measurable achievements, will be the Polish universities in EU top 20 by 2030. This is a very precise statement, very difficult to achieve from various reasons. We are not obsessed with rankings, but there is a lot to say about good rankings and how they evaluate the achievements of universities. Substantial increase of the foreign student numbers. I know for American universities it's much more easier. The language is English. The English is the international language. We are developing a number of courses, and I will be very proud to show how many universities are preparing complete degrees in English, reasonably well-structured English, and that will open the gate for international exchange of students. We need to have much more multicultural environment to develop the new ideas, new way of thinking. Then, of course, we are talking about money. Always funding is the issue. So we want to reach average EU GERD to GDP by 2015. This is very cryptic, but basically says that we will invest more in science and we will be prepared to commit, even sacrifice other sectors of the administration or the government, but support science. more national, international patents. The issue of intellectual property is not new to Polish scientists. However, there is still a problem of going through. There is a little bit of maybe of cultural issues. We are putting a lot of effort to enforce policies which will be securing intellectual property rights in appropriate way. More researchers in private sector. We tend to generate our graduates, which will be again employed by universities, and they will generate the next generation of graduates which will stay at universities. We have to break that cycle. We have to definitely send graduates which are doing PhDs to very innovative economy, to very innovative companies, to remove them from the system. From the system, which I mean the higher education system. Not all, but definitely many. We are relatively poor on that. Stronger international cooperation. We said so many times today that there is no borders. We are talking about global science. We are talking about a lot of developments which have to be done in the complementary way. I would like to highlight the term complementary way. To take two groups and ask them to collaborate, they have to see the benefits, which is obvious. But we have to build such a conditions that there will be no restrictions for that. And that will be supported additionally by either funding or special different type of benefits. But we have to collaborate. And that takes me to the point which is not present on the slide. The issue of publications. We tend to count, we want to convert them to different numbers, we want to add them up and have single indicator to say how good we are. We all do this all over the world. Now, additionally, we spent millions of dollars. I'm very conscious of that figure because we just signed another almost 300 million for the next year, maybe a little more than 1 year, for basically access to publications from all over the world. So on one hand, we all contribute to development of science. Now we have to pay millions to get the reporting from those science because we have the system that we pay for the access to the published work. It's time to rethink that. And there is a lot of development along those lines. We talk about the green path, the green golden path. All of them are going to the directions that we shouldn't pay for the access. We should share all over the world our results, at the same time being competitive. Sounds like contradictory. We have to find the right balance to achieve that. Without resolving that issue of spending millions to access information which is currently developing almost on a daily basis, we are absolutely excluding thousands and hundreds of people all over the world to actually learn what has been done. We are wasting money for redeveloping things. So the issue whether we should pay for publishing or we should pay for accessing is still in the debate, and we decided as a government first time to get free access to all institutions which are scientific, which is universities and institutes, research institutes, for a substantial amount of published literature online, basically with no cost to them, which means cost for us. But that's the well-spent money. Now, to really understand, I know we have a few minutes for this presentation, I have to say one sentence, I promise not to extend that, how we are organized as, I will say, higher tertiary education sector and science. We have Polish Academy of Sciences, and we have many members of Academy with us, and we have president of the Academy, and that more or less counts for 6% of the people, I will say, executing or developing research in the country. We have R&D institutes, around 19%, and they are still publicly funded, but to much lesser extent than institutes of Polish Academy of Sciences. Those institutes, which are second bullet from the top, they are basically asked to bring the funds to their own institutions, and in average, I will say no more than 15-18% of funds are spent on those institutes. And we've seen many of names of those institutes in the presentations this morning. And higher education institutions is something which is maybe unusual to American side, but is constructed through the public and private, which you are familiar with. I'm talking to my colleagues from US now. But in public sector, we are distinguishing various academies, universities, and polytechnics. This is the level of achievement and also the focus of the education which they offer. What is very interesting is distribution of financial resources. And very briefly speaking, if you look on the left, then you can see maybe first of all the meaning of those colors, the basic research applied, which has got the potential to be actually deployed in some industrial aspects, and the development and innovation applications. Then you can clearly see how little basic research is done in industry, which we have to basically move that blue bar slightly to the right for the industry. That was my comment about PhDs joining to going to the industry. And when you look on the higher education sector in specifically, because it's the largest group, then still the blue bar is far much too long. And as long as that bar will be continuing to be so long, then what we are getting secure, stable funding, which is nothing wrong with that, but this is kind of discouraging for being innovative, going ahead, bringing the money to the university. And this is our tradition. This is why I said how many years we've been developing those our ways of basically work. Now, when you look on that funding issue, then very briefly, discouraging is not the right word, but the bad feature of that graph is that we have to put more than 60% of funds in Poland for the scientific development. So again, the 30% needs to be more industry-based, and now we have to build the way that we collaborate closer with industry, that the money will flow to the science, doesn't have to come to the university. We may share those ideas either in the R&D labs of industrial side, but we have to basically go with this light green slightly to the left. That's the tendency. How to achieve that? We are making a lot of mechanisms which are too particular for discussion today, but we think we have some tools to achieve the move to the left on the lower bar. Well, it is important to realize that the government spends quite substantial funding. I always believe, that's my personal note maybe first, right, that whatever the money is, we can always do better. The issue is how we use it, how we spend it, and not necessarily the highest volume of funding generates the best results. I'm basically saying that sometimes the crisis makes us to think twice or three times and doesn't have to be destructive to the development. But of course, funding must be there. And when you look on those figures, we are 17.1 billion Polish zloty, which is converted for your confidence, for your convenience to American dollars. And additional to that funding, we live in exceptional time. The EU funds are flowing in the big pipeline to Poland. This is very serious funding, which is available for research, for infrastructure, for the infrastructure which is scientific, also construction sites. So for this year, till December, we contracted 10 billion Polish zlotys. And another similar figure will be done the next year. This is the funding which never been available, and this is why we have new energy to put the legal acts, removing the restrictions as much as possible, giving additional funds and bringing new idea how to collaborate with industry, and we hope that that will turn and will deliver a slightly different, I will say, landscape for the measures which we observe. Let me tell you why I believe that will work. First of all, we increase the funding for the research from the government. The figure is not relevant here. And what we see, the second competition in a row, which is 38 in the country, doesn't really matter, the number of applications for grants increased dramatically. We have 30-45%, depending from the group of sciences which we are supporting, increase of number of applications. So once we reach the success rate less than 20%, we have to be confident that the quality of presented work will go up. And we would like to really do it not internally, exclusively for Polish scientists, but through international collaboration as well. Well, I mentioned that we have a problem. Well, I look at this guy and he's already yellow. It irritates me. I will speed up now. This is something which is fundamentally important for our situation. The dark blue is a private sector in higher education. By higher, I mean tertiary education. It's happened quite late and is growing like with an enormous rate. We are very proud that Poland, this is the comment which will be very useful figure for American colleagues, has got the highest scholarity index in Europe. I think in the world, but I didn't check. 55% of candidates for higher education are actually entering university. That is enormous growth, and I think within 3 to 5 years that must deliver. So our percentage of population with higher education will be much higher than is currently, but once we'll be trained in the better way, in much more innovative way, much more in the disciplinary way, we should be in the different position. It is happening already now. So this is the curve is going a little bit down just because of that. And this is incredibly important situation, and I think that situation faces not only Poland, but many countries, is a demographic slump of numbers. We are talking about around 2022, very low around, please compare, 300,000, yes, that's right. So this is the people entering the higher education sector. And now, if you compare this curve with the curve which I showed you just a moment ago, with around 500 universities, the situation needs a little bit of consideration, I will say. So the government policy is very, very well defined, is very precise, is well focused, and I will summarize this very briefly. Reform of science in higher education, I will basically say a few words. More competitive and quality-based funding. That comes from our, what I call, tradition. No easy money, money exclusively on competition. More funds for industrial R&D. We want to bring together industry and researchers, and we have a new streams of funding. Let me mention one of them with a cryptic name, Initech, which supports two phases of development. The first phase, where is a more checking whether idea makes sense, whether the basic research needs to be conducted, and then the second phase, which is introduction and industry strength prototyping, which should be ready to be taken by industry. Very substantial change of thinking and also funding available for that. Better conditions for young scientists. We definitely have to refresh our stuff. We have to take from younger people, provide them much more interesting, fascinating conditions, not only in terms of collaboration, but also financially. Let us call it by name. We cannot afford to give them unacceptably low, I will say, earnings or remuneration, which will discourage them. We lose, I would say, generations if we don't do anything about that. There is a plan for improvement. Protection and mechanism to improve mobility of scientists. We cannot stay for the whole career at one university. Closer collaboration with university, domestic, international high-tech industries. We have many, many high-tech companies having R&D in Poland. They are very successful. Let me mention just few. Samsung, the largest R&D development in the world, is happening in Warsaw. Google has got already two centers, Microsoft, Dell, and names goes on and on. They found fascinating conditions in Poland because it's well-trained, young, full of energy and enthusiasm people, and they are very hungry for the leadership, and I think we are succeeding here very well. And very important change is the following, that we are introducing fully independent funding agencies. First time, although one may argue with me that in the past it was something similar, two agencies which will be independent from ministry in the sense how they run, evaluate and bring offer funds. Of course, the dependence will be that the funding will come from the government, but not in the sense how they evaluate the work for the publication. So, I may skip that. I said a lot on this. Let me tell you a few words about those two new centers. I will say agencies. First is National Center for Science. We call it bottom-up approach. It is the governmental agency responsible for management and financing of basic research. We don't require for projects in this area any immediate applicability to the industrial projects. So if the agency will, of course, run the full management of projects from calls to the evaluation of projects' results. And this one, which is currently existing and is the second, actually the third year in progress, top-down, we would like to identify strategic directions. We would like to say we have specific rules because of applicability of the work which will be done there for real innovative solutions. And the government decided, we already have seen something along those lines today, on a few areas, five areas, as a strategic for the development. They are very broad, as you can see on this slide. Society and sustainable socio-economic development, very important for the new economy, for the after transition period, new democracy, very important area. Health, which we have a discussion on that today in details, energy and infrastructure, we touched upon that earlier, and new technologies for the economy. This is basically ICT. ICT with capital I and very focused, which we would like to develop. We have great talent. I know that, oh well, let me be proud of some Polish results. When you look on any competition, and I'm talking Olympics in computer science, we are talking about Google competition, Microsoft competitions for programmers, the winners are University of Warsaw and Tsinghua University in China. So, and it's from year to year, and we are doing very, very well. So this is something which we may think of capitalizing on. And then finally, environment and agriculture. Well, to collaborate, as we've seen, I would like to finish with a picture which I believe is a fabric for collaboration. The IT infrastructure in Poland, in terms of the networking and connection to the rest of the world, is outstanding. We have many supercomputer centers. We have perfect connection to the West. You can see the technical details on the left. We have a little bit weaker to the East, but never mind. And what I'm saying, that grid computing, this is what Dr. Anna Barker said this morning, are fundamental for sharing the data, sharing the results of experiments. We cannot keep them in safes, like safes full of patents which never see the daylight. So we are equipped, we are ready to do, we have fascinating programmers, and let me conclude with a statement that I hope meetings like that will bring our scientists, our policymakers, and our great supporters for future collaboration, which will be definitely fruitful, because we believe that will work. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Madam Minister. Being a minister brings some privileges, so we still have time for one quick question. Yes, please.
It's really one question, but important, I think. I'm from university. Do I understand well that you have promised us to develop a spin-off action at universities? Is it possible?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
A spin-off.
Yeah.
Like in the United States.
Spin-offs at university?
Yes.
And you cannot do it now?
I don't feel like
it. Did you try?
Yes.
And you have any objections in the legal act that you cannot do?
Only
Okay. So, but I'm surprised.
I can send you a report on this.
No, thank you for the report. Let me tell you how I would answer that question. We look very carefully how much spin-offs we can actually support in our legal acts. We have the following idea, which is already introduced in our assumptions for the new act, that one spin-off will be in charge of generating as many as later are required. There is quite a lot of bureaucracy on the way and serious decisions to be taken, so we look at the top and that problem and it will be much more easier now.
So it means only that I should try harder?
Yes, you should try harder.
I'm sorry, we are running out of time, so I'll defer the rest of the question to the coffee break, if I may. Thank you again. Our next speaker is Professor Luis Proenza from the Akron University, and this brings us a wonderful example of what used to be a very small school and turned out to be now one of the most promising and most vibrant scientific communities in the United States. And this is a wonderful example. I hope that this will also inspire all of us in Poland. Please, the floor is yours.
Thank you very kindly. And my talk is going to shift from the role of government and, if you wish, the Ministry of Science and Education to the role that a university can play in engaging with a region, with an economy, and indeed promoting opportunity. I think the message that I will begin with and end with is that all of us face, wherever we are in the world, common challenges. We have opportunities to apply a full range of tools, what we call a tool chest, which are also common opportunities, but they will have unique expressions depending on the particular conditions of a region, an economy, its history, its present economic cultures, etc. So let me begin first by just reminding you of Ohio, and I'll show you a picture of it in a minute. I'm glad to know that some of you are going to travel to Cleveland. You need to remind Cleveland that it's really now a suburb of Akron, because Akron is becoming the center, if you wish, of economic activity increasingly. It is a region that maybe all of you may remember was once the rubber capital of the world. It's where the tire industry began and reigned for many years. And then with globalization, tire production went elsewhere. And what happened is very fascinating, and the university played a significant role, which I'll tell you about, and that is a massive diversification of the economy. And the proliferation of related companies from an original 4 tire companies to what is today in excess of 1,800 companies utilizing polymer technologies, and of course a variety of other industrial opportunities. But first, with all due respect to Tom Friedman, the world is not flat. It is spiky, and it's often regional. This is a satellite image of the world taken at night, and let me just give you a little bit more detail. This is the United States from that same map, and clearly the United States is not flat in terms of its distribution. It's highly concentrated in either major metropolitan areas or cities, and the very interesting thing is that about 80% of the population lives in this area, and approximately 80% of colleges and universities are equally situated, and certainly saw in Maria's talk that it appears to be that way in your country as well. And so a great deal of intellectual vitality exists in here, and it's the same in Ohio, although, of course, the maps that we show each other of either nations or states are confused by the fact that they show very antiquated state lines, city boundaries, counties, municipalities that, of course, have no further relevance to the economy, so we have to overcome them. And what we went about, beginning about 10 years ago in particular, is to assess the opportunities and resources to move our economies forward. And what we found is that the university possessed the world's largest polymer program, a top producer of chemistry PhDs with an exceedingly high productivity in intellectual property and startups and businesses, that we did interact with a number of strong industrial clusters, particularly in advanced materials, but we faced some challenges from the legacy of the past. It was an older industrialized area that in the United States has sometimes been called the Rust Belt. That's no longer the case in large measure, but it, you know, some of the legacies persist. It was, because of this legacy, hugely risk-averse. It was not entrepreneurial, and there was very little in the form of investment capital. We saw, however, here some opportunities. First, there was a lot, very strong, but underutilized research assets from companies as well as within the university, particularly in the industrial sector. There was a beginning development of an entrepreneurship spirit and potential, and there was, of course, the interaction of Ohio with the global economy. Also, as we're seeing throughout the world, a very clear convergence of private and public sector interest in the economic vitality of our regions, and there was the understanding that we couldn't be all things to all people, and we also could not copy, whether it's Silicon Valley or Research Triangle Park or anything else. We had to find what our niche, our differentiation was, and to use that in the most productive and efficient manner possible. What I'm going to tell you about very briefly is some of the tools that we've utilized and hope in that way to stimulate some discussion, but they're divided fundamentally in what we might call the physical infrastructure and our new landscape for learning and the University Park Alliance in that are in that domain. And the others are in what we might call programmatic infrastructure, our university's capacities, particularly in interacting with, unusually, non-traditional partners. Okay? So we first understood that we had to provide the physical infrastructure to make it attractive for students and faculty to join us, and for our existing faculty to be more productive. So we invested about $500 million in 16 new buildings, including a new 30,000-seat football stadium, because Americans are foolishly in love with football, which is really soccer. Now, we did lousy in American football, but our soccer team is number one in the nation and is going to the Final Eight. How about that? We built 17 major additions, 34 acres of new green space, planted nearly 30,000 new trees and bushes and plantings, and created new walkways and plazas and terraces. And this, in turn, catalyzed neighborhood development around the university. The sort of middle blue in the center is the university. This white area surrounded by a black line is what we call the University Park Alliance area. And we recognized that we were being a catalyst there, but also that we needed to take a very vital interest in the complete infrastructure revitalization in this area if we were ultimately going to be successful and not find an infrastructure surrounding us beginning to drown us and bring us down economically. Okay, programmatic infrastructure divided into two or three pieces. We created a University of Akron Research Foundation to get away from the problem that you perhaps faced, namely that typically public institutions are prohibited in one way or another by the government from doing one thing or another, and so we have to find ways to become entrepreneurial and overcome these good things. This research foundation has enabled us to become very hugely productive and to be among the top seven of universities without medical schools in licensing revenue. Number one in normalized licensing revenue, that is in per licensing revenue per dollar of research input. So just because you're big doesn't mean you're good. To give you an example that some of my colleagues in the United States don't like to hear, the University of Michigan has $800 million in the research portfolio. They very proudly say that they created 25 companies in the last 5 years. We have approximately $50 million in our research portfolio, and we've created over 28 companies. Okay. Now, let me give you an example of what I mean by the tool chest. When we think about how universities engage in commercialization, typically we think of only two things. Traditional licensing, we have a patent and we find a company that's interested in it, we license it, and it leads obviously to that company being able to do their business better and increase their productivity. The other thing is, of course, on a much lower scale, but nevertheless important, what you were hoping to do, namely, to start a new company. Okay, these are the two things that usually anchor U.S. and many international universities' engagement in commercialization and economic development. Here's what we've done. Okay? And all I want you to understand from this is that the tool chest is much larger, and I'll just highlight a couple of things. And by the way, President of the Academy, it includes seminars in open innovation and engaging in open innovation, but it includes taking those patents that you referred to, Maria, that are sitting in many companies' shelves and not being used, and working with those companies to finding other opportunities that the companies obviously couldn't do. We're engaged with multinational companies in private-public partnerships, strategic partnerships to advance an area. We've developed for-profit companies. We've developed an archangel, an angel investment network. We've developed a group of senior fellows, which are, if you wish, entrepreneurs in residence. Sometimes some people call them skunkworks or other words like that. And we've taken our know-how and began to share that, if you wish, or provide these services both to companies and to other universities. So we're doing the licensing and commercialization for four other universities and for a couple of companies and for two hospitals at the present time. So the bottom line, colleagues, is if you've only been thinking about traditional licensing and university startups, the world is very much open, and this is only, frankly, a small sampling of the possibilities, and we are also engaged in some international collaborations that you'll hear about. As a result, we've garnered some significant recognition, including from a company that's represented in the back of the room by Diane Palmentera, which recognized us as an exemplary emerging university for advanced innovation partnerships by the Milken Institute and by many others for the high ratio of productivity typically exceeding those universities that you would normally associate with major commercialization opportunity. Now, we then also did, in this programmatic endeavor, some unusual partnerships. We have, as I said, a lack of investment capital. So how can we find the opportunities to work with others, in part to reduce our costs, but secondly, to create opportunities that we wouldn't have otherwise found? Now, of course, in many institutions that have medical schools and affiliated hospitals, that partnership is already there. We did not have a medical school, but there were three major hospitals in our area, significant clinical hospitals. And we went to them one day and asked, would you like to join us in creating the beginnings of what ultimately can become a major medical research center? They hemmed and hawed. They weren't sure. But when they saw the opportunity of joining us so that we could leverage some state and foundation funding, it resulted in a partnership that now is called the Austin Bioinnovation Institute in Akron. It is catalyzed initially by an $80 million investment and supporting our city's biomedical corridor. It's dedicated to becoming the world's number one biomaterials and orthopedic research program at its starting place, obviously building up the major strength of the University of Akron in material science and the orthopedic excellence in the hospitals, but then branching out into other adjacencies that build that research expertise. And initially, as you see, we're starting with five principal centers, but the first one is the core, namely biomaterials and medicine. We also engaged, Maria talked about the range of higher education organizations, in something that most American four-year universities would have been loath to do a few years ago, and that is to partner with a community college. Okay? In American higher education, community colleges are not higher education, according to many of my colleagues. Well, I beg to differ with them. They're very important. They provide not only people as feedstocks to our programs, but they have tremendous entrepreneurial spirits, and they have a great affinity to work directly with industry in developing workforce. Now, what we did is, and this is just, we're now about 3 years into this process. We have three areas of focus, as you see, educational efficiency, job growth from discovery to application, and talent growth, growing talent and growing jobs. And I'll just share one example of what we're doing in the first thing. We found ourselves with the opportunity to help the community college establish their enterprise research infrastructure, their IT infrastructure for managing itself, the software that a company would use, a college would use. We had done it. They had not. They needed to transition. We said, why don't we join together? We will initially do it for you, but you join us in forming a shared service organization which will serve both of us, and once we do it for ourselves and are serving each other, that organization can begin to offer its services to others. Okay, so just one example in applying what many industries have done, but to bring down cost and obviously move forward. As a result, we've gotten a fairly large grant that we wouldn't have. So let me sort of share some of the lessons that I learned in the process of all of this, and obviously I've just given you some highlights of what we've done. First, don't assume that weaknesses are just weaknesses. You can find weaknesses in the environment, and if you put them together, they become a valuable asset. I'll give you an example that was illustrated in that bubble chart. We found, for example, that a number of the companies in Akron had very valuable science and technology libraries, as well as equipment and space. We began to see where they were. We found that the companies were not very willing to donate those libraries to the university. We manage them now for them at a much reduced cost. They still have access to them. We have a larger asset. They have a reduced cost and still access. The space could be managed to put special research projects, equally the equipment and so forth. Secondly, there are a lot of talent everywhere around it. Open innovation begins to draw that in a very innovative way. But in any community, you have a lot of talent that is vastly underutilized and sometimes which are quite willing to come and work for free just for the opportunity to engage in something in which they later have an equity position. Thirdly, identify and coalesce on common synergistic partners. I don't know how many there are, but believe me, 5 years ago, I would never have imagined that I would be partnering with those three hospitals in Akron. It's resulted in a very innovative partnership. We're now exploring other ideas that could bring to the table other opportunities. Why is it that some universities have a department, for example, of public health, several miles away from the government public health organizations? Why couldn't they be co-located, and therefore you have more talent working together and less cost to both partners, et cetera, et cetera. Fourthly, if we're going to be successful in affecting economic growth as a university or as a government, we have to be involved across that divide between government, industry, and universities. So in our case, we've worked very hard with industry, as I mentioned, but we've also found it critical to work with the city management as well as with the broader community at large as our integral partners in advancing the well-being and the vitality of our community. Five, we have, of course, begun to work and coordinate what we're doing not only with our partners, but with other major regional assets that can allow us to pursue other unique opportunities by synergies across longer distances. Six, as I mentioned to you earlier, we had to get beyond the fact that most institutions think of only two things in economic development and expand that universe of product line, if you wish, or the tool chest. And again, that slide only illustrated the highlights of what's available to you. And these are elements that we can draw from. Seven, focus university efforts on relevance and connectivity. Okay, this is what Maria is talking about. This is what our own government here in the United States, whether in the White House here in Washington or in our states and in our cities, are calling for. How can you as a university, how can you as scientists and engineers help advance the economy? If you're not being relevant, what are you doing? Okay, why is it that, at least in the United States, the word academic has become in some places synonymous with irrelevant? Okay, we have to change that. Finally, it's not easy. So we have to recognize and resolve what become, in many cases, the conflict of egos. My university is more important than your hospital. Okay, your department is more important than his. Okay, we have to get over that and find ways to work together. At the same time of getting over the egos, you have to overcome what I call partnering paranoia. Oh, you're going to get ahead of me. I can't let you do that. Okay? So this conflict of egos and fear that somebody's going to do better than you has to be overcome. That takes a lot of work, so you also have to overcome what we call relationship fatigue. It's hard work to be a partner and a collaborator with others. Okay? And in the process, it's sometimes important to relinquish control at the outset to gain long-term leverage for the opportunities you see. Okay? Let me end now with this slide, because I think what I've illustrated to you define what are the 21st century roles of universities. First, there's no question that universities, higher education, particularly those with science and engineering and technology and mathematics, are serving as very important anchors in the conceptual economy, the knowledge economy. They are conveners. That's an important role. We can bring people together to the table. We're the developer. We're investing in infrastructure. We're investing in technology. Okay, but we serve as an anchor, a very important anchor, to generate creative capital, knowledge capital, human capital, social capital, financial capital, and to preserve natural capital, the sustainable green movement, if you wish. We do all of those things. And let me end where I begun, and that's obviously that together, all of us, regardless of where we are, face common challenges. We have common models that we can draw upon, and they will be expressed with unique opportunities before us. I believe that we have a great deal to learn from each other in Poland and the United States, but there are many great things going on around the world, whether it's in other parts of Europe or the Middle East or in South America or in Australia or New Zealand. And so let's learn from each other and develop some innovative ways of doing things. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have time for one quick question. If not now, let's move on. And oh, yeah, sorry.
I'd like to ask the Minister whether she thinks this is applicable in their university.
Well, the question is very general. I think in some cases, yes, we should see examples like we just seen a moment ago. And what was missing, in my opinion, in this presentation is, did you ever had any serious problems that you didn't succeed? Because it seems like a smooth, silky way, a success story. And I know I will present in the same way. I think it's doable, and I am very hopeful that soon we will see similar examples.
Well, you're very kind. Nothing comes without great difficulty and travails. We've been very fortunate indeed. It's been a steady movement forward, but clearly, as those lessons learned indicated, we had many tiring issues. We had many conflicts to try to resolve, and they're not over yet. Well, I think obviously I'd like to think I've had some role to play in this, but I think in all honesty it's a confluence of factors. Some of them are historical. The university began right in the same year that the major tire companies emerged. We were smart enough as a university. I wasn't there. I wasn't even born in the early 1900s to develop the first rubber chemistry program in the world and to grow that into the largest polymer program in the world. And these kinds of things then, you know, have sort of built that synergy. Obviously, I think it's also in part an accident of time, and maybe it was an accident of luck that I have had roughly 30 years of experience in public-private partnership from universities and thus could see some of the opportunities that perhaps others might not have seen.
Thank you very much.
Could I touch on that? I think that raises a very important point for the minister, because President Parenza is, of course, too modest. Local heroes, as we call them, civic entrepreneurs, often make a decisive difference. And President Parenza is not here at the National Academy of Sciences to talk to you by accident. There is good reason for it. That said, the framework that he works in involves responsibility, but it also involves authority. It involves accountability, many presidents of universities are changed suddenly. And it also involves the ability to draw on both public and private resources in an entrepreneurial fashion. You need to have that leadership to draw as successfully as he has. Those are all, in a sense, questions. Can your rectors actually do something? Are they willing to take the risk of not succeeding? If they accumulate more money, recently in Sweden, it may have changed, but when the president of Chalmers raised more money, the Ministry of Education took money away so that everyone would stay in the same place. This is not a recipe for growth and success, of course. So I would just like to leave those thoughts, not that they can be answered right here. You'll have a chance in the session, but those framework conditions are critical, as is Dr. Parenz's leadership.
Thank you. We have to move on, and now we'll have a chance to see the presentation on a Polish example of a very successful school, namely Gdańsk Technical University, and its regional strength and building the partnership. We are fortunate to have the rector of the university, Professor Henryk Krawczyk, with us, and this presentation will be delivered by his collaborator, Professor Jan Hubka. Professor, the floor is yours.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, so the president has decided me to speak to you, since he has the leading role in the changes we have undertaken for the last year and a few months of the new president and his collaborators. So, and I am responsible for implementing the new ideas of management and of our universities. So I will make the presentation, and of course both of us and the president Krawczyk, first of all, is ready for discussion and any answers for questions you may have. Gdansk and a university and its role in the Pomerania region. It's a little bit similar situation as we have just heard from President Parenza of the University of Akron. I'll try to be maybe so eloquent, probably it won't happen. And also as Minister Orłowska, it's not easy task to do, but let's try. Okay, first of all, I mean, this map, I mean, the map of Europe and Poland has been seen already here, and Gdansk as a cradle of solidarity, but is also a cradle of many of science and technology associated with ocean and seas. So maritime technology and the economy based on the ocean and sea has been in trouble for years. So also the one of the major scientific research also is in trouble, since the university was using its location to be mostly sea oriented. So now we have to change our attitude, see the new possibilities, and this is what we've been trying also with respect to what Mrs. Professor Orłowska just said, of the absolutely necessary changes we have to have in Poland regarding implementation of our research results. So first of all, what are the aims of the region of Pomerania, of this province of northern Poland? So they are listed here. As I think most of the speakers already mentioned, that it is so essential for the conversion of research to products and services to create jobs and improve living standards through innovation. So we are absolutely aware of that, particularly for the in the last decade, and and then sources of energy which power the economy and protect national security. Also, we have a very advantageous situation regarding renewable energy resources. Then attract businesses which use local suppliers and infrastructure. Intellectual property protection is guaranteed. This is very essential. We really put a strong emphasis that we guarantee that all the technologies which are brought here to won't be copied and then stolen. Clusters of businesses which bring new products and services to market. Serious effort has been done in this field. And then further development of e-management systems for city administrations, online public services for citizens with web-based mobile and smart card applications, e-participation services for citizens with interactive consultative applications. So we are aware of this task. In fact, we consult the marshal of the Pomeranian region and we closely collaborate in just fulfilling this aims here. Okay, about our university. It is a medium-sized university, but with respect to technical universities, it is one of the major universities in Poland, and in fact the biggest in northern Poland, with about 25,000 students. We have over 500 PhD students and then the academic teachers, so-called almost 1,200, have nine faculties, which is extending from architecture, civil engineering, and naval engineering, chemical engineering, of course, electronics and informatics engineering, and other mechanical engineering and another. And now about students, there is a demographic tough situation, not only in Poland but also in the whole Europe. That the situation is getting worse and worse, less young people are available. But still, we are lucky, because as you see, the number of students are growing, and also those who enrolled for the first year is also growing. So that means that there is a drive for science, technology, and engineering among young students. Of course, the university takes a big effort to attract those students via lectures for high school students. Also, our professors go to high schools and then lecture there to make those students interested in science and technology. And also, we are aware of partnership in higher education in Pomerania. And what we already created, a cluster of academic institutions. So this year, on the 14th of May, we signed a letter of intent. So we can share our resources. Not only technical universities are involved here, but also all the academic institutions, also oriented strongly towards humanities and social sciences. And now about a new model. This is just I like this picture very much. This is just created by our president. So now we understand why he prefers me to talk about this his idea. So when you look at the university and such a kind of a human creature here, we can see. So the university is based on two legs. The legs are infrastructure and an organization. And then the major directions or activities are education and research. So the input is finances, how they are available, and then candidates. Also e-recruitment is underway and well established. And then the result is knowledge. So we have recently created the Center of Knowledge and Entrepreneurship, which eventually will be commercialized in the near future. And then we have graduates. And then with the alumni association, we have worked much closer, and And I am aware how strongly the alumni associations and alumni generally, how they impact American universities, their alma mater, from which they graduated, how they support them. So that's what we really, which is still missing in Poland, and we have to make developments in this field. And then, of course, partnership. You know, partnership is essential. And other aspects, and then we have to take care of the workers, our workers' resources, and the laboratory, library, and so on. Okay, let's go on. Then, when we look at the first, we have to look at our resources. Then, when we have the human, technical, informational, and financial, and when the common wealth here is the strategic understanding, and then documents, proceedings, and services, balance, budget. Of course, they are related to those resources. And with the technical resources, then renovation and investments are essential for further development. And then when we look at the functions, we have also the education partnership organization and research, and then again we have the structure, globalization, commercialization, and internationalization, which really has to be taken into account. So we need to attract more students and of both educational levels. And then now we have the basic organization structure, which is the network matrix structure created by Professor Krawczyk. And we have the resources and functions here, and then when they intersect, the human, education, research, financial, those are the departments and teams which will then solve all the problems which are necessary to manage the university. So this is just underway, and not everything goes as smooth as one might think, you know. But this, at least there's the direction. I think we are quite successful in fulfilling this aim here, and this is essential also. Such approach is essential for the informatization of the university. We have the databases here, and then the all the resources. Databases for all the resources, and then we have the IT services, which are related to each of these resources, informational, technical, financial, and human. And now about the new facilities, which should help us to move on. So to implement this new organization, it is done by a specialized teams which are located in this new building. Is right now is the most intelligent building in Pomerania, and in fact the Faculty of Electronics and Information Technologies is located here. We have one of the in fact the fastest computer also located in this building in Poland. One which is within the one of 100 most powerful computers also in the world. Then we are moving towards new areas, new technologies. So now you see the nanotechnology center, so called, and with another very intelligent building, and which will house material engineering, advanced catalysis, and nanotechnology labs, and approximately 7,500 students will find its labs and facilities to study. And then what was created is the Center of Knowledge and Entrepreneurship. It is located and recently renovated historical villa, which was acquired some time ago by the universities in a very, very good location, and serves for the management of universities' intellectual property, commercialization and promotion of results of intellectual property, organizing workshops, courses, and also we have the academic incubator here for the students. But also what is rather unique in Poland, this is the pre-incubation process. In the real incubators are located in two research parks we have, the Pomerania Research Park in Gdynia and the Gdansk Research Park. And so students use their resources, their accountants, their knowledge and their support. So this is a close collaboration with research parks. And as I mentioned, we are looking now at commercialization of the center. So this will be an independent like the research foundation Mr. President showed us in the previous. We are thinking about very similar approach. Already a couple of leading universities have familiar institutions, similar institutions. So now the role it has to the center. First of all, we have to manage knowledge and then entrepreneurship. That we have certain tools to fulfill its role at the university. I'd rather go ahead to be on time. And this new approach, this new management already shows very clear increase in invention. So in fact, with respect to already and filed patent applications, we have doubled or more than doubled the number of last year, though the number of publications remains at the same level, but we have absorbed much more structural projects, major structural projects from the European Union, being I think the second university in Poland to absorb EU funds. And now just a few words about the university where we have experts. Just a few slides. Of course, there are nine faculties, and each faculty, of course, has its own well-known researchers and professors. But what spans our activities, at least for faculties, is the environmental technology, which can be related to final products, process and production, and clean technologies. And then we already understand that the collaboration among faculties is absolutely necessary, and this takes place. And it also, let me show, it, for example, allows, sorry for some chemical structures and approach here, but it shows one way we are working on is just the mention before in the carbon dioxide in transformation to fuels, and we do this research. It's a leading research in the world. With using modified doped titania with various elements. So this one I just presented this approach 2 months ago in Niagara Falls. There was an international conference dealing with advanced oxidation technologies okay. And then of course, we've been collaborating for years with the United States, and our leading professors got their education and experience in the United States, and I think this is also pertains to most of the academic world, wealthy Poland. So we are very grateful to the United States for the possibility. But I think there was also a mutual benefit, because I remember I got a reference letter from a very renowned professor from University of Utah with which I've been collaborating for over 30 years. So he wrote me in this letter. He said that we benefited also from his visits, and really we have joined patents. And one of the professors is Professor J.D. Miller. He is a member of the National Academy of Engineering and from Salt Lake City, University of Utah. So I just want to mention him. There are many of such professors, and we'll celebrate the 65th anniversary of Politechnika Gdańska. And it will be 106th anniversary of Polytechnic in Gdańsk. There was some, you know, turmoil, I mean, regarding some political situation. It was in the past. Anyway, the professor will be awarded Dr. Honoris Causa in May next year for all his what he's done for our university. And then an example. It says here, this can be seen well from the back of, and this is September 1st, 1992. Already, just after the transformation of the economy and educational system began in Poland, there was assistance from the United States, again from the University of Utah, because I know it the best because I've been associated with the university. And there was a report prepared, the role and networking of the Utah Engineering Experiment Station, so we could follow how to implement research results into the industry. And this report was prepared and not necessarily found a really good response at our university. That I have to admit. So now the time has come to really think about the rebuilding the bridges, and I am looking forward for the Polish-American collaboration. I think it's absolutely necessary, of course, besides collaboration within the European Union. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Professor Hupka. We have time for one, maybe two questions. Yes, please.
Thank you. I'm Francis Skrobashevsky, Director of U.S.-Polish Trade Council in Silicon Valley and on the investment committee of Krajowy Fundusz Kapitałowy, the national Polish National Capital Fund in Poland. These were excellent presentations, particularly about taking technology out to the marketplace from the university and research institutes, and to follow up on Professor Zimiewski's question on the spin-out. I do want it bears noting that the opportunity for greater spin-outs will be available in Poland with the venture capital funds that the Krajowy Fundusz Kapitałowy is financing right now. These are EU structural funds under other funds that were listed up there that we've just done a tender of $100 million. That are creating venture capital funds throughout Poland and will do other tenders. So those funds will then be able to cooperate with their universities in their neighboring communities and help draw out.
So could you? Yeah, would of you course, I'm anxious to look for those capitals. We are absolutely ready and be happy to talk about.
Hopefully, we'll have some in Gdańsk as well.
Yeah,
some.
Absolutely. I think on behalf of the president already, we can invite you and
well, no, this,
strengthen
but it,
the collaboration.
And Madam Minister, I think your comments were very well taken on that because you're right on the interface of the venture capital and the direct development of those kind of technologies that will be available to those venture capitalists.
Okay, any more questions? There seems that everybody is thirsting for coffee, so let me join in thanking the panelists. There was a great panel. Thank you very much.